Good morning. Welcome to Liminal Church, and welcome to those joining us online. It's really good to be here with you this morning, and if I may be so bold to say this, I think it's really good that you are here. It's good that you exist. It's good that we're here together, and for me at least, it's an honor to get to co-create a sacred space with you all here this morning. If you're new here, my name is Andrew Collins. I'm one of several volunteer members of the teaching team here at Liminal. And one of our practices, one of our rhythms that we do here on the last Sunday of every month is to set aside time for contemplation. So rather than, if you're someone who has experience going to church, rather than the normal church things, singing songs, hearing a teaching message and all that, on these Sundays we take time to slow down, to sit in silence, reflect on our lives, sit with, process the past month, pray, and hopefully receive some measure of peace, healing, and love. I don't think we have any kids to dismiss, so I can skip that. The theme of our contemplative time together this morning is beauty. And I just want to say up front, the inspiration for much of what I've prepared today, the core of what we'll be sitting with, comes from this absolutely wonderful book that I recently finished just reading for myself. It's called Beauty, The Invisible Embrace by John O'Donohue. And if you've read anything by this guy, O'Donohue, you know that he's pretty much the perfect person to take on a topic as rich and challenging as beauty. O'Donohue was an Irish poet, priest, and philosopher. And he's known for kind of popularizing or reintroducing Celtic spirituality, especially in Europe and America. So he comes out of the Christian tradition, but kind of a Celtic-informed approach to that. If he's a new voice to you, well, I'll just let the beauty of his words speak for themselves, and hopefully you will find your soul blessed and your heart rejuvenated this morning. So before we go any further, I think everyone has one, but just to make sure, does everyone have a copy of the readings? They're long. We're going in deep today. If you didn't, Ben there in the back or Usher has some extra copies. I want to start with a quote from the French mystic and philosopher Simone Weil. If we could pull up the first slide. She says, "Imaginary evil is romantic and varied. Real evil is gloomy, monotonous, barren, boring. Imaginary good is boring. Real good is always new, marvelous, and intoxicating." And I love that. Like, how many of us grew up in church or otherwise with some sort of false impression that being bad was fun, adventurous, exciting, so on. Well, being good was boring or empty or for goody two-shoes, you know, uninteresting, whatever, right? I think of like the cartoons with the devil and the angel on their shoulders, and the devil always seems more fun. But I don't think that's the case at all. It's a stereotype, of course, but this impression we have of good and evil runs deep and I think ultimately counter to the true nature of God. So it's my hope that we can tap into this real goodness of God this morning, a goodness that is new, marvelous, intoxicating, and ultimately beautiful. Because if we lose sight of that, if the way of Jesus, as we've been exploring in the Sermon on the Mount in our series here, if God himself doesn't compel us with beauty, our spiritual journey is going to be pretty tough sledding, especially in the middle of our current cultural and political environment we find ourselves in. And that is not at all, I think, what the Spirit wants for us. In Philippians 4, this is from the Message version, so this is a paraphrase of the original text, the New Testament epistle. The Apostle Paul says, "Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, emphasis mine, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies." So my friends, I believe it is God's desire to work our lives into beautiful works of art. Divine harmonies, if you will. I love that rendering. I know there's a lot happening in the world right now that is downright ugly. That's there. And maybe some of us, maybe you feel like you're bringing some of that ugliness in with you today. And if so, that's okay. This time is for you, for us, to sit with that, process it, and maybe, hopefully, let go of things we don't need to be carrying right now. Whatever the case, it remains that divine beauty is the antidote, the key to our healing and restoration and to the presence of the kingdom of God in this world. So as you can see on the handout that you got, I have four excerpts from John O'Donohue around this theme, this idea of beauty, the beauty of God that we're going to contemplate today. Each one is pretty lengthy, so I don't have much commentary to add myself. I'll pretty much let them speak for themselves, and then offer you a couple prompts. After reading each one, we'll take some time, probably 5, 6, 7 minutes or so, to sit in silence. And again, during that time, I'll have a prompt and a short scripture passage up on the screen for you to sit with as well. So with that, let's begin. So our first reading, this comes from the heading, a section in here called The Heart, Prism for Beauty. I don't have the words up on the screen, but again, you can follow along as I read or just listen. As faraway light yields its harvest of colors when it passes through a prism, beauty opens out its radiance when it shines through the human heart. The heart is the place where beauty arrives. Here is where it can be felt, recognized, and shared. If there was no heart, beauty could never reach us. Through the heart, beauty can pervade every cell of the body and fill us. To use a word that feels like it sounds, this is the thrill of beauty through us. Perhaps this is why we sometimes feel the absence of beauty in our lives. We have allowed the prism to become dull and darkened. Though the light is near, it cannot enter to have its inlay of beauty diffused. Sometimes absence is merely a rested appearance. Compassion and attention keep the prism clear so that beauty may illuminate our life. Prayer, of course, is the supreme way we lift our limited selves toward the light and ask it to shine into us. So as we take time to sit with this, I'd invite you to read the passage again. Notice any sentences, phrases, words, things that stand out to you, that speak to you, that catch your heart somehow. Take some time to let them speak to you, challenge you, and nourish your soul. If you would like a question for reflection, if that would be helpful, I'll ask, does the prism of your heart feel dull and darkened right now? If so, take some time to prayerfully breathe into that block space. Hold it with curiosity, not judgment, and ask the light to shine into you once again. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. let's move on. Our next reading reflects on perhaps the shadow side of beauty, or ways that the beauty manages to exist and persevere in the darkness. This is beauty, the radiance of the eternal. While beauty gladdens our hearts, it makes us lonely too for what cannot be. True beauty is woven through the heart of life and is ever engaged with forces of ignorance, darkness, ugliness, and negativity. Yet domination and power are not beauty's way. Beauty works from within these conflicts of forces, and her brightening may or may not appear. Where beauty seems absent, she is often hidden and still at work in the slow industry of transformation. So much of beauty is not immediately apparent, and indeed it could take a long time before it becomes visible. It often takes a lot of struggle and committed attention and generosity, even sacrifice, in order to create beauty. This work of beauty is slow and patient. It is the transformation through which the darkness of suffering eventually glimmers with the learned refinement of true radiance. The soul that struggles for the emergence of beauty reaches toward God and labors on that threshold between visible and invisible, time and eternity. As Dostoevsky suggested, perhaps it is beauty that will save us in the end. So again, as we move into this next time of reflection, I would invite you to read the passage again. It's dense. There's a lot there. And again, simply notice. Don't have to digest the whole thing, but maybe find a sentence or phrase, something you can key in on, and let that speak to you and nourish you. If you would like a prompt, I'd invite you to consider an area of your own life right now, or perhaps something happening in the world today that's been on your heart that feels completely devoid of beauty, something that feels so dark and hopeless you can't see any beauty there at all. Is that really the final truth, the ultimate reality of that situation? How do you think God might see it differently? For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Let's sit with this. Let's continue with our next reflection here. This is for when the light of your neglected beauty shines. So again, we're moving on to the backside of that handout here. Third quote. The beauty of God is the warmth of the divine affection. Your strange and restless uniqueness is an intimate expression of God, and who you are says something of who God is. You cannot divest yourself of your immortal clothing. The two longings deepest in your heart, the longing to love and to be loved, are not merely psychological needs. At a more profound level, they are the stirring of God within you. Your capacity to care is God. It is your beauty. Therefore, divine closeness is the secret of human vulnerability. We are not vulnerable simply because we are childlike adults in an imperfect world. We are vulnerable because we carry in us a deep strain of God's caring. Our love for our friends and family, our concern for the world and for the earth, our compassion for the pain and desperation of others issue from that strain of God in us that prizes above everything the kindness, the compassion, and the beauty that love brings. Anywhere, in prayer, family, frontline, hospital, brothel, or prison, anywhere that care comes alive, God is present. So again, take time to sit with this, perhaps reread it again, slowly. Notice what's speaking to you. Notice what's healing, what's comforting, what's challenging. And if you would like a prompt, I'd invite you to consider, to reflect, where do you see genuine care, compassion, kindness, and love showing up in your life? Notice these and then celebrate and bless the beauty of God within you as a divine image bearer. If I ascend to heaven, God, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. finally we'll move out onto the frontier of beauty, with a reading to refine your contemplative heart. Here's our last one. O'Donohue writes, "If we could but turn aside from the glare of the world and enter our native stillness, we would find ourselves quickening to new life in the eternal embrace. This is the subversive consolation of God, that sweet mercy that sees beyond our blunders and falsities. There, we need feel no shame or guilt or anxiety. No storm can touch us there. In the presence of the God of beauty, our own beauty shines. God is the atmosphere where our essence clarifies, where all falsity and pretension vanish. Here, we are utterly enfolded. No words are needed, no actions required, for everything is here. God is the time circle where all our possibilities unite. In God, the ultimate portraiture of the soul fills out. All our different selves unite. The selves we are and were and could have been and could be. The unchosen selves, all our nights and all our days, our visible and invisible lives. Only the strained language of paradox can suggest the breathtaking surprise of such divine closeness. God is breath near, skin touch, mind home, heart nest, thought forest, otherness river, night well, time salt, moon wings, soul fold." So again, as we take time to sit with this. Again, these are dense. Take some time, reread it. Find a line, a phrase, something that makes your heart sing, that stands out to you. And as we sit in this final period of silence, I'd invite you to take some deep breaths and allow your body, mind, and heart to simply rest in this subversive consolation of God. Here, nothing is required of you. There's only love. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." If the ushers could come up for communion, we'll move into our closing sacrament for this morning, as we always do on these contemplative Sundays. Always feels so appropriate after this time in reflection and silence and prayer to gather. Gather at God's table. So here at Liminal, we believe our approach here is that all are invited and welcome at the table. As that last quote reminded us, we're all within the divine embrace. So when you are ready, there's no order or anything, but whenever you feel ready, please come up one of these two inner aisles here. We have some gluten-free crackers there if you need gluten-free or pieces of bread and a cup of non-alcoholic grape juice. The usher will pour you the juice into the cup, and then you can use the outer aisles on the outside to return to your seat. And then in your own time, when you're ready, you can eat the cracker, bread, and drink the juice. And after the service, if you could leave your cup in one of the little bins by the coffee bar, that would be great. And if it's difficult for you to walk up for any reason, please just raise your hand and an usher can bring communion to you. So the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So this remembering that Scripture invites us into, this looking back to Jesus through this sacrament that involves two very common everyday things, bread and wine, right? I think can actually be a means of grounding ourselves here in the present. As we reflect, we come back to the love, the union that we have in the here and now. And it brings us in touch with the reality that ultimately everything is sacred. God fills every part of our lives. And again, I like how John O'Donohue actually puts it, writing about the Eucharist in one of his blessings. He says, "We seldom notice how each day is a holy place where the Eucharist of the ordinary happens, transforming our broken fragments into an eternal continuity that keeps us." So with that, I invite you to come to the table. thank you again for being here. Feel free to take those handouts with those readings with you. I feel like at least there's and a little less than an hour isn't nearly enough time to sit with those words. But as we conclude our time this morning, one, I recognize that some folks may like a little more time and space just to sit in silence. So if you do want to talk or have conversation, let's take that out into the foyer and kind of keep this space of silence and contemplation here in the sanctuary for a while. And if you need some extra time, feel free to sit and linger. So I'd like to send you all off this morning with a beauty blessing. And again, this is from John O'Donohue. So hear these words, receive them, not even from my heart ultimately, but from the heart of the divine. As stillness in stone to silence is wed, may your heart be somewhere a God might dwell. As a river flows in ideal sequence, may your soul discover time is presence. As the moon absolves the dark of distance, may thought light console your mind with brightness. As the breath of light awakens color, may the dawn anoint your eyes with wonder. As spring rain softens the earth with surprise, may your winter places be kissed by light. As the ocean dreams of the joy of dance, may the grace of change bring you elegance. As clay anchors a tree in light and wind, may your outer life grow from peace within. As twilight fills night with bright horizons, may beauty await you at home beyond. May it be so. Go in peace.